in slide number 18, it is stated there that the governments of the region are represented or have one seat in the board of directors. If I'm right, can you explain this thing to me and tell me the status, what is the status of these governments? Because the formation, it says here, the formation of the SPV board, the directors of which shall be from the private African telcos shareholders with the government, and then I don't understand that.
So this is the point, I'll come back to you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. The governments of the region are represented on the board through the Intergovernmental Assembly. Because there's a slide there that talks about the Intergovernmental Assembly. And what actually happens is that the governments, say right now we're 10 countries. So we meet and we discuss certain things. For example, where we decided that the shareholding of the company would be worth $2 million. So we sit down, and then with respect to when the board is now meeting, the countries would discuss those issues that are for public policy nature. We sometimes call it the policy and regulatory nature, and mandate the one representative of the IGA who would come from the Nepali Africa Commission that to represent the will of the government, so to speak. So there will be one person who's from the Nepali Extra Commission who participates in the board of the SPV. Otherwise, the board is run by the companies. The SPV is run by the companies with this one representative. And then the one representative participates like everybody else and has this golden share on matters related to particularly the implementation of the Nepali principles. But that person gets the mandate through the meeting of the IGA, which meets about twice a year. And in that meeting of the IGA, every government only has one vote. So if there's no agreement on the issue, then it has to be decided on by a vote within the IGA in mandating the persons who would go and represent, say, the government on the board.
Can I just ask, in the case of the
tie,
is anybody...
No, you might just press.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, in the case of you know, like a tie, who would have a casting? Have you got a decision on a casting vote? Because that would be quite crucial in those issues.
Yes, member. In the case of a tie in the Intergovernmental Assembly, we actually, in the first meeting, one of the things that we decided on was the what they call rules of procedure. And in the rules of procedure, the chairperson has the casting vote. Yes, it is a rotating chair. And then on the board, the companies, when they get together, they would then decide on their, with respect to the functioning of the board and how you deal with the issues of the tie. Because when it's all other matters, the government representative has a vote just like all other board members. So they would, they, you know, that would just be normal.
Do they have a veto power?
The regional government? No.
Why don't we do this? Let's deal with it separately. In the Intergovernmental Assembly, IGA, you've got government represented, and the casting vote is that a tie is by the chair. That one is clear. Now, in this meeting, the board meeting, the governments are represented by one person. All right? And in that instance, are you suggesting that, or are you saying, DJ, that they participate like every member? There is no, for instance, veto by government on the other operators?
Yes, sir. They participate like any other member, unless it's an issue that is seen to be contrary to the principles and objectives of NEPAD. Now, that would those things would have been listed in the normal shareholders agreement of the company. That on these particular matters, they have a golden share. In other words, they have a veto power. But in exercising that power, that representative of the government would have gotten the mandate from the meeting of the AIGA where the chairperson has the casting vote. But on all other matters, it's just a board member like on the other board members.
No, thank you, DG. But I think the protocols, unless I haven't read properly, the golden share is not defined.
It will be the shareholders agreement.
It will be the shareholders agreement. Oh, okay. Mr. Peterson.
Chairperson, contrary to popular belief or belief, and by that was raised by Mr. Swart, the municipality of mine, you know, undoubtedly, unconsciously, are the most beautiful municipality. The beach on the one side, blue frame, blue flag beaches, passing green flag, environmental schools, 9 of them, set in the beautiful mountain range of Sleeping Beauty. Now, if there's any doubt, DG, and you need a landing site, do not hesitate to call. I'll talk to the executive mayor and the municipal manager. We can agree on that, and there is a site available for that chairperson. Now, it won't cost you anything, you know, for the country, as they put it in Afrikaans, for folk and fatherland, be more available and willing to do that.
Can you receive a call?
Waiting for Telkom to connect.
Chairperson, learning from the Telkom experience on the other table, the question then is, why would, you know, you find, because we encourage companies and African companies to invest in other countries, you could easily have a duplication and more of them from South Africa and each of those countries, and it could end up being invited by those countries to participate in the easy table. How do we ensure, you know, is there any danger that you'll find 10 MTNs and 10 Vodacoms and 15 Telcoms partnering with companies, with countries on this exercise? And how do we make sure that we don't dilute what we was the good intention of this protocol? You know, that we don't find a repeat of that and end up having the same exercise that South African companies has with Telkom to have access to the cable. They don't do something similar there.
Thank you, Member Peterson.
The company we talked about, MTN Uganda, which has signed, it is our belief that MTN Uganda is a Ugandan company. Pays taxes in Uganda, etc., etc. Now, in the board membership of the card, what we provide for in the protocol is that there needs to be representativity for the different sub-regions, and in fact, that has been indicated. Obviously, the companies would be the ones that decide on who their board members would be. However, there is no advantage in terms of issues related to the cost or ownership for any of the companies, even if it was MTN Uganda and MTN Ethiopia and MTN something else. Because remember that the access to the cable is the same. The conditions for access is cost the same for the same amount of units. And if there are discounts, it doesn't matter who you are. If there are discounts for 10 megabits, there will be discounts for 10 megabits, irrespective of whether you're Telkom South Africa or you're Telkom Uganda. So there is no advantage that any company would get unless if the other companies agree on different kinds of telecoms, the advantage different kinds of telecoms in different countries, which would be part of Telecom South Africa, to be on the board. But the decisions, because of the principles underlying the cable, the decisions that the board can make really have to do more with where they can invest and those kinds of things. It has absolutely nothing to do with the cost. And from the competition point of view, they will have equal access to the bone on the same conditions, irrespective of how many times and how many guys they might be able to come up. But remember, this is one of the reasons why you have the intergovernmental assembly, because those kinds of things then would be discussed, because there would be more issues of a policy that maybe the companies are doing that would not be in compliance with the principles that we're talking about of NEPAD. But we are quite sure that from a financial point of view, and the cost to communicate point of view, and access point of view, there would be absolutely no advantage. Because that is how the cable is structured, and those are the principles for the cable. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Dante? Eric?
Yes, thanks. I'm sorry, I've got only two questions remaining after the others have been successful in being covered by my colleagues. But see, I just want to check one issue. I'm not sure whether the teacher will be able to respond or whether the question will be fair to the teaching or to the delegation from DOC. But hopefully, because the deputy minister is here, maybe he can be able to respond. But see, I just want to check the reluctance which seems to be emerging to some of these African states. Whether that is purely because of their internal problems or incapacity which they are having to deal with the matter. I hear that the Commission is willing to assist those countries which are lacking the capacity to do so. Or it's in relation to the balance of forces international when it comes to trade. Where surely because this project seems to work against the liberalization of trade. Now you've got the resistance from those other countries or other influence outside the African continent which want to ensure that this project does not go on. I just want to check that whether in reality are we dealing with the internal problem, internal capacity of countries, or who are facing the reality of resistance of the capitalists outside there who say this is our terrain, we want to benefit. We want to benefit. So that when we deal with this matter, it does not become the issue of the poor uninformed members of parliament who happen to attend the pub meetings that their countries are not doing anything around that particular issue, whereas the real problem is somewhere else. I just want to get that broad picture. That's why I was saying maybe it might not be fair to the DG, but I hope she'll be able to grapple with my question. The second issue, Chair, is that I'm raising this issue understanding the type of heads of state that we're having in Africa. Because you see, Chair, I can't say, Chair, I will make my assumption that some of these companies in this country, some of the governments, they do have some shares one way or another. So it will be very difficult for some of these companies to bypass and do this and that and so on. Although in our own telecom is standard, but understanding the African context in terms of those companies and so on. The second question, Chair, is that it's in relation to I'm just wondering whether it's possible for the department or ourselves as a portfolio committee to get a legal opinion on the issue of the lending of the cable. Whether it's possible that can be stopped by the protocol or any other means, or whether the department has already received or looking to, or they do have a legal opinion around that particular matter. Because to me, it does not sound an easy thing. It must be an easy cable, but it might not be an easy thing to deal with that. But I'm just saying that for certainty, Chair. So that we are sure that that can happen. Because I'm just raising that because I foresee a situation where we'll go toe-to-toe with the companies in the easy cable, trying to ensure that they survive, then will be dragged to court and so on and so on for a long process and other things. That's why I just need a certainty around the issue. The last one, Chair, in relation to Luke Chen. I understand some of the South African companies is already signed and so on. But there was some undertaking or some arrangement at the beginning of the process, although it was not followed through by Centec. There was certain undertaking made by Centec when the process started. I just want to check because Centec is 100% owned by government within DOC, whether Centec has already been told to withdraw from the process. Because it, to me, it won't make sense if we're trying to persuade the other companies, whether Centec still have that undertaking to have some form of a stake in the easy cable and so on. I just want to check that whether in relation to Centec, a clear decision has been taken around that particular matter.
Thanks, Eric. Did you have sure you can handle it?
Fortunately, our task is just to provide facts, and we will do that, Chair. Chair, with respect to the issues of the balance of forces, you recall that in the presentation we did indicate that not everybody welcomed this, that we're told that this has not been done elsewhere, etc. First of all, I want to indicate that when the ministers met, one of the meetings that we're talking about here, which took place in June in Sandton, the first meeting of the ministers where they took the decision that we actually need to have the protocol, on that same date, the World Bank organized a meeting in Washington of African ministers of communications for East and Southern Africa. Some countries as ministers of state and ministers of communication. So we had some deputy ministers here also. That happened. So that could have been a coincidence. Quite a number of remarks have been made, particularly by the World Bank, which have been covered by our media, especially ICWeb has covered that quite a lot, which talked about the South African pension funds and how we want to overtake the continent with our funds, etc., etc. And the reason why this was going on is because, in fact, we had talked about, you know that there's this Pan African Infrastructure Development Fund that we are participating in. And there was quite a lot of opposition, particularly by the World Bank, to the use of this fund for infrastructure development in the ICT sector. And so lots of comments made about that in the media. Again, that is factual. The World Bank, when the company signed on the 9th of March, I think it was a day or two later, the World Bank made a huge announcement about, I can't remember how many millions of dollars that they had put aside for ICT development of broadband infrastructure for East and Southern Africa. This is a day or two after the signing of the companies. In fact, ICWeb did contact me and interviewed me, and we welcomed the fact that the World Bank would be providing money for infrastructure. We said it was overdue, and we hope that it would be able to access that. About 3 weeks ago, and again, this is also in the papers, and in fact, we do have the report of that meeting. There was a meeting organized by under the coordination of my colleague in the U.S., Ambassador David Gross, who's a very good friend of mine, in the State Department, of African ICT ministers in East Africa. And the objective of that meeting, according to the report, was to ensure that the harmonization of ICT policies in East Africa, building of broadband in East Africa, etc., etc. So I hope that this helps in providing the atmosphere within which we are working. Hopefully, all of these are things that are aimed at achieving what we believe are the important issues on our continent. But also, I believe it's public knowledge because we were quite interested in the interest in East Africa. And there's some US-based that is somewhere near along the... No, it's public. It's actually public information that the US was saying that from the point of view of security for the US, it was very important that region along the equator, that there is this communication that is secure. So it is part and parcel of of policy, and I think international policy is really an extension of national policy, so it is something that is important for the region. So we're just explaining the what we know with respect to facts, the things that have been going along with the development on our side. With respect to Centec Chair, I am happy to say that just like Neotel indicated to us, Centec also indicated to us that they did not sign because they were aware that this was against the protocol. So Centec does not have the same kind of problem that the other companies do have. They are just waiting to be informed to be part and parcel of the NEPAD network. They were given the money for this, interesting enough. Grateful for that. Thank you.
No, thank you. I didn't see any other hands. The Deputy Minister, I heard that you raised your hand earlier, but can I just deal with this?
Honorable Chair, I didn't raise my hand to speak, but I'll respond to this issue because Eric raised this question. I think the DG has adequately covered the kinds of matters that appear to create the difficulties about having more African countries signing on. And it's quite correct to understand it as a mixture of circumstances, basically. And I think that all African countries don't have the same degree of independence and power to be able to speak out against people who have strong financing mechanisms over their independent decision-making processes. And I think even more fundamentally important, aside from the specific and unique interests that certain international companies and countries may have on this matter, like has been mentioned to the United States of America, I think the principle that is being introduced in this arrangement about the way we do business is quite a revolutionary principle. And it is almost a fundamental departure from the way business has been done in this particular sector. And that can't be in the interests of the way companies do business. Here there's a lot of emphasis on the question of reducing costs, creating equity access, ensuring that governments have some kind of important role to play in determining the delivery of these services at a cost-effective rate to their citizens. And, you know, companies that dominate the markets resent the involvement of governments in doing business. So this is quite an important principle. It's a departure from the way things are normally done. And I think my sort of closing comments to this committee would be that this ratification of this protocol, in a sense, constitutes one of the issues in which all of us in the House here as parties must have a common interest on. There are no politics here that should divide us, because this is a matter of what is in the fundamental economic interests of the masses of our people and the companies that do business. I think it's in order that apologies are necessary that we are not able to bring this protocol timelessly to Parliament. It's not for disrespect of the authority of Parliament, but it's the nature of the circumstance that has delivered difficulties in getting this thing timelessly here. So I think what we would appeal is that, you know, whilst we've had difficulties with the easy cable, we don't want this to be the difficult cable. So we should appeal that we all should ratify it and support its speedy ratification.
Reverend Mushaloka has just come in to pronounce the benediction. Just before, no, welcome, Committee. We will have to engage this matter between now and next Tuesday. The matter that Comrade Eric is raising about some legal opinion on our part, just to check that if there are any companies who can undermine the laws because the power that we seem to have is the refusal for lending rights and other matters as a country, like any other country. So
Eric is raising a very fundamental point here that we should just check, that we don't get undermined. Don't certify a protocol only for the sake of ratification and we still get undermined.
Sorry, I meant to just speak on that one as well. I think the method we should find the legal authority for that. But our understanding is that those landing stations are within the jurisdiction of South African law. And so we have the authority on those landing stations. Cables outside, but they're on the international side. But the minute anything is set up within property or land, which is in your country, that comes under the jurisdiction of South African law. So we have complete control.
No, that's fine. I'm just raising an issue so that we should not forget that point that is made. And also just maybe we'll work together with the departments, whoever is on the issue of the foreign affairs law, so that we just try and get an understanding that we're on safe ground. I was very happy to hear that this process, the aviation process was similar to this one. You know, that makes a very good example of this landing right. You see, flying all over, but they must land somewhere. Now, here is a typical example of where commercial interest and national interest don't necessarily coincide, but they have to coexist. I think that is the fundamental issue here. And fortunately, as members of parliament, of course, the constitution of the country enjoins us to do what is in the national interest. So we'll look into all these matters in the run-up to Tuesday. But I'm also satisfied and happy that the strategic location, geographic location of South Africa gives us an advantage here. If you look into the easy cable, whatever it is, and even set 3 for that matter, where we located, unlike in 1652 where it was to our disadvantage for many years. It's our time now. And thank you very much, DJ. I don't know if there are any closing remarks from your side before I adjourn this meeting. But let's just close to you, and then I'll just make some announcements, and then we go.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think in closing, as I'm thanking you, I'll just ask so that you also hear her voice. Ms. Nankabala Jordan was going to say something about the protocol and the discussions within the AU.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think what we wanted to emphasize was that the question that was raised by the Honourable Members with regard to the regulations and harmonization of policies within the continent. Yes, there has been, we have been lagging behind, but ever since we started developing the protocols, the NAFTA Africa Commission has been engaging the AU Commission. And they've actually used this protocol as a model. And in terms of us harmonizing the regional policies, we actually, the objective is obviously to align it to the protocol. So in terms of moving forward, both from the SADC region, because it was also discussed 2 weeks ago by SADC ministers, as well as within the continent, we'll make sure that what in our processes in terms of aligning our national policies and regional policies, it is also in compliance with the NAFTA protocol.
Thank you.
We thank you very much, DG and team. Members of the portfolio committee, you know the drill now. The meeting must take place next Tuesday. We everybody here for quorum. We also have to adopt the minutes and the report that is given to you. I haven't gone through it, but just to see that they correspond. And lastly, that we advertise on the Sunday newspapers for 12 non-executive board members of the SABC. If there is a request also to do ICASA, we'll do the advert and so on. So the next Tuesday will be our last meeting unless we've got to call any other special meeting because Parliament rises next Tuesday. So next Thursday, whatever. Next Friday, sorry. So we rely on your... This is the last line. Let's run faster. The meeting is adjourned.